I am not sure if we're on.
Go ahead and do the welcome. Welcome to Mindshifters Radio. We're having a little bit of technical strangeness happening. I'm not sure if you can hear us or not. If you can't hear us, you won't hear my instruction to send me a text. But if you can, let us know that we're live. The intro didn't play on the show. We're not sure just what's happening. But in any event, I'm going to presume that we're all here and on rock and roll. This is Michael Rice, and this is Mindshifters Radio. And our goal in this particular day, as with every day, is to support the understanding, the increasing depth of awareness of the ancient Aramaic tool of forgiveness and how to use that tool. We live in a culture that tells us that forgiveness has something to do with letting somebody else off the hook for what's going on inside of us. We have a different idea, and we'll share that idea with you as the show unfolds. The word forgive in the ancient Aramaic has absolutely nothing to do with me letting you off the hook because there's something painful happening in me. The word forgive in the ancient Aramaic has to do with how do I go inside myself and remove the root of my pain? So that's what we're here to understand. That's what we're here to share. That's what we're here to support you in. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. If you'd like to access complete instructions on the forgiveness process, you can go to our website and access it freely. The website is www.whyagain.org. That's whyagain.org. And in the upper left-hand corner, you'll see a link that says start here. That's the starting point with the how-to of forgiveness. How do you remove from your mind every fear, anger, sadness, grief, rage, and pain? So the only thing that's left is your human life. We have an easy, easy definition of human life. Hold a newborn child, you know exactly what a human is. If you're not functioning with one of those, then, you know, rest assured. Little noise in the background. I'm sitting in the main corners of High Springs, Florida. We're on the road traveling. And so a little emergency vehicle just went by. But in any event, if you go to the that spot, the upper left-hand corner, start here, you'll see a link for Chapter 24 of my book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? Other places on the site, you can download the whole book. The Reality Management Worksheet, the most current one, is on the website, second link. And then there are 5 radio shows where we give instructions for how to engage in this ancient, awesome, absolutely fabulous tool called forgiveness. So we're delighted that you're here. Again, our call-in number is 646-200-4169. We're in High Springs, and we're on our way to St. Louis, Missouri, or as the locals say, Missouri. We're heading out of here sometime in the next hour or two from High Springs. And if you're going to be in St. Louis on Sunday, we'll be speaking at the Sunday service at the Soul Esteem Center on Sunday morning, and then doing our most popular workshop, Why Is This Happening to Me Again, on Sunday afternoon. We'd invite you to come and join us. It's a free open workshop. 2 weeks later, we'll be up with Dr. Tim in Woodstock, Illinois. And we'll be doing a full week of workshops there. There'll be 6 free workshops. There's one workshop when we travel we charge a fee for, an all-day workshop called Mind Shifters and Still Point Breathing. And so we'd invite you to come and join us. A couple weeks after that, we'll be in Lansing, Michigan. And it looks like we might go up into the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, too. So keep an eye on our website to see what we're doing. If you're in any of those areas, we'd be delighted to see you. 99% of our travel workshops are free, and if you have anywhere up there, we've actually got a little bit of time in between sessions. If you've got a place to invite us, touch in, let us know. Maybe we can arrange to see you some up around the Chicago area or in Woodstock, or pardon me, in Michigan. So, Jeannie, Is Dr. Tim with us? David with us?
David is not. I don't see Dr. Tim yet. We do have a caller already. And I'm not sure what happened. I kept waiting for the intro to play as well, but we're online doing fine now. So let's take our caller, area code 918. You're on the air.
Hi, Michael and Junie. This is Jane.
Hey, well, hey,
I just called to let you know if you didn't know you were on the air, you're on the air.
Yeah, it was kind of strange. Our intro didn't play. We were just sitting there with dead air. So, well, not sure what to do with this. Let's go ahead and talk and see if we're on. So,
yeah, I knew.
Thank
I,
you for
I
letting us
this.
Know.
I can hear you in the background. I also just
right.
remind you to send me an email for your address again.
Okay, I think Jeannie sent that a couple of days ago, but I'll get her to send it one more time.
Oh, yeah, because I didn't get it for whatever reason.
Oh.
Who knows why.
So what's exciting on your agenda today? What's interesting in your world? Any particular thoughts to share with us as Reverend Lady St. Jane?
Yes, I do have something to share with you. I went to a doctor, and a heart doctor, and he's just a delightful man. Everybody that I've brought into my life on that line has been, to me, fabulous. But anyway, he said to me, you don't look like a person that has a breathing problem at all. And I said, well, it has a lot to do with attitude and how I feel about things. And I said, I'm not into worry, which is useless, unnecessary suffering. So I said to him, he said, I wish my patients were like that. So when I get better, maybe I'll be able to visit his patients and encourage them that attitude, depending on how you want to think about something, is everything. And it shows, I'm enthusiastic, and even though some things in the body are not as well as they can be, that doesn't mean they're not going to be. So anyway, I wanted to share that part about, a heart doctor saying to me how important the attitude he felt it was in his patients. You know, if you start worrying about it, you can worry yourself into leaving the earth plane. Anyway, you asked me what I was thinking about, and that's what I was thinking about. Are you there? Hello.
Yep, I am. Lady Jane.
I better hit my mute button.
Okay.
I just resent that, so check
thanks,
your email
I
again.
I appreciate it.
All right, hon.
All right, thanks. Yeah.
And, it's interesting, Jane, that you bring up that idea of attitude and, what we generally hear from the Aramaic being called the Beatitudes from the scriptures. And in the ancient Aramaic, the first word in each of the Beatitudes is tuvehun. And it's interesting that the word tuv, the first part of that, it's actually a three-part word. And the first part of it is T-O-U-V, and it translates an attitude of mind.
Ah.
And as opposed to a nice philosophy, which is what, as a kid and all through my growing up years, I was told the Beatitudes, sort of was presented as this nice philosophy. It's actually an instruction set for how to literally activate an attitude of mind that the Creator put into us to elevate from the unconscious level to where this tuv or this attitude of mind underlies the perception, decisions, and behavior that we make. And so where we're told by the Greeks that in the Beatitudes it says over and over and over again, blessed are they, blessed are they, blessed are they. In Aramaic what it says in each of those places where the Greeks tell us it says blessed are they, it says a latent neural structure or attitude of mind becomes your conscious possession. You who, and then each of the Beatitudes is a set of instructions for achieving that activation of that attitude of mind. And it is, so, so key and so important. And people who come to a situation with an attitude of mind of fear and worry and jealousy and vengeance end up with all kinds of challenges and problems that were never necessary at all, and those who choose to cultivate that attitude of mind that the Creator put into us that's based in love, confidence, and well-being, have a whole different game to play. So thank you for bringing that up and reminding us of it.
Okay. Also, do you sell the Beatitudes on your website?
There is a 11 by 13 standard frame size poster in two colors that people can order from the website, and it's $3 or $3 for $5 or something.
Because they're beautiful. They really are.
It is. It is a nice poster, and you would hardly recognize the Beatitudes when you look at them in their original language and then what they're watered down to in Greek, you know. And it's also a place where we can verify the primacy of the Aramaic language, where, you know, Greek scholarship that has basically got a stranglehold on the West, a scholarship that to a great degree is based in fear, is basically just that. It's Greek philosophy. And the first of the Beatitudes, where we're told, now, this is in the name of a man who says, I come to connect you to the spirit of truth. Somebody wants to convince us that we should be poor in spirit. It's like,
yeah.
Well, what universe does that make sense, you know?
Right on.
And if you go to the word that's been translated as poor, in Aramaic, the word is home. And if you add a fly speck to the word home in the right place, that vowel point changes the word home to poor. And that's one of the ways we know that the Aramaic was prime and that the Greek was a copy, and in many cases a very, very poor copy.
Yeah. Well, okay, thank you, and I'll be listening.
All right, we appreciate you a lot. Blessings. So 646-200-4169 is our call-in number. We'd love to hear your sweet voice. We'd love to support you. We are blessed and honored that we get this opportunity to bring forward the tools from the ancient Aramaic and every day to be on the support team of every person on the planet who chooses to avail themselves of what we're offering. And we're looking to understand, to comprehend, and to bring forward everything possible from the ancient Aramaic into our English language and into this state of insanity that by and large runs the world, and to restore human life. That's what we're here to do. And if you have a question for us, if you've been using the tools and you're having challenges with it, we would love to hear your questions. And, you know, sometimes people say, well, you know, my question's so elementary, it wouldn't be meaningful. And sometimes those very elementary questions can be the key that someone's missing who's climbed a long way up the ladder, and that question all of a sudden triggers the piece that someone's missing. So your questions are all very much appreciated, and we'd love to hear from you. Gene, do we have anything happening in the chat room in the way of questions, and or is there anybody with a hand up in the caller queue that has a question for us?
No, we have a lot of people on the switchboard, so if you're pressing one, you'll be next up.
So here we are. You have a question. I know you have a question in your mind. And maybe you're shy. And maybe your voice might be a little shaky being on the radio. Let it go. Breathe into it. Push one and ask your question. It will help us to set the direction for where we want to go with this particular show. So if you've got a question for us, there's no waiting. You are next in queue if you hit the button now. And beyond that, our work toward understanding this ancient Aramaic set of tools is that of the search of 1,000 generations and looking to understand what was originally given to us in the Aramaic as the how to achieve at this full expression and full experience of a human life. The culture tells us that that all you have to do is figure things out, and if somebody doesn't satisfy your infantile desires, well then, you know, you just puke on them and make sure they know that they're the problem in your life, and then everything will be okay. And we're looking to turn that around and recognize that when someone pukes on another, the person who gets the original is the person who does the puking. And recognize that is to start to make sure that your words, your thoughts are gentle, respectful, responsible. Doesn't mean you can't hold people accountable if they're off base, but that's where we want to hit. And Jean, did I hear your voice trying to cut in there?
Yeah, I started to. We have two callers. The first one is area code 517. You're on the air.
Hi, Michael. This is Tony.
Hey, Tony. Welcome, sir.
How are you?
I'm blessed and highly favored.
Good. I'm calling kind of for our support group. Last night we had our support group over at Rex's, and
right.
We watched Purpose, Personal Power, and what's
commitment.
It called? Commitment.
Commitment.
Okay. And in the beginning of that, you talk about the primary purpose being developing a spiritual body.
Right.
And then you also talked, somebody in the group brought up something that many of us kind of questioned when we heard it. And I don't have it word for word. I think she had it more word for word, but it had to do with destroying the spiritual body. And her point was that the spiritual body can't be destroyed. And so the questions kind of came up around that. And I apologize because I'm not giving word for word what it was that you had said in the video, but I'm just putting it out there to see if you could bring some clarification to if you're following kind of the question that I'm bringing up.
I am, yes. And what I'm speaking of there, if you look at 7.5 billion people on the planet and you look at the hostility, the fear, the rage, the war, the 250 million people murdered in the last 75 years, there's not much spiritual awareness or spiritual body in expression there. You know, the tap into a newborn child, you've got a direct experience of the spiritual body, the active presence of love. And what the world does is obliterate awareness of that or render it, for most people, non-functional. So can it be destroyed? No, fortunately, it's in a different frequency range. You know, I can't get an FM signal into an AM radio. It just doesn't go. You know, if the signal just passes right through, there's nowhere for it to express. And fortunately, whatever we've done, whatever is done to us on this level, cannot touch that higher level of frequency that was called spiritual. But when one lives in a world where they have little or no awareness of their spiritual beingness, for all intents and purposes, the spiritual body has been rendered non-functional or destroyed. Is it still intact? If we choose to bring it into awareness, absolutely, that's the reason for doing the work. So that would be maybe a refinement that would help to clarify that one.
Okay, and this is just my recollection. I could be totally off base, but it seemed like part of what you said also was that if you were bringing up the idea that if we're putting all of our focus on material things. And 100 years, you know, we're no longer in a material body, and we haven't done anything to develop our spiritual body. There will be nothing left. This is totally. I don't know if these were your words or not, but the impression I got was that if you didn't spend this time here in the physical world developing a viable spiritual body, when the physical world leaves, you won't have anything left or something to that effect. So can you kind of touch on that idea too?
Sure. In essence, what I talk about in that particular workshop in that regard is that I use the example of imagine that we have a child in utero that has to build its own body. And along about 3 months, it says, you know, this building a body is just too much work. I don't want to do this. I quit. So imagine that the development of the physical body stops at 3 months in utero, and 6 months later, that so-called physical body is ejected from the womb, do we have a viable human being? Do we have a human being that can function as one would in a completed physical form? Obviously not. They're going to be non-viable. Well, fortunately, we don't have to participate in the development of our physical bodies. That seems to be pretty much automatic. But I do offer in that video that the development of the spiritual faculties is not automatic. It's something we have to choose to engage in. And in the same way that if the child is forced from the womb at 3 months of age, they're not going to survive, they're not going to be functional. If one goes through their lives and they invest all their time, intelligence, money, and energy in getting all the stuff they can, and the so-called body dies, and this person has not spent the time it takes to develop the viable, functional spiritual faculties, then for all intents and purposes, they're back into non-existence. You know, the way that I'm aware of my surroundings is through my faculties. I can see, I can taste, I can touch, I can smell, I can hear. That's one set of faculties of the body, but then there are a set of faculties of the soul, of the being. And if we don't spend the time to develop those faculties, then we'll have a non-functional human being when the physiology is gone. So that's the point I'm making there, is that this is our opportunity to develop those faculties. And then if we have developed them and the body goes, we still have faculties through which to have contact with our environment. So we're still functional human beings. If we haven't developed those faculties, if we don't have the functioning of intuition or imagination or will or choice, if we don't have those things happening, then we're non-viable as spiritual beings. Doesn't work. How do you be aware of the environment around you if all of the senses that you have are non-functional? So what I'm proposing in that video is that it is your time in this world to devote at least a percentage, and I usually suggest at least a tithe, 10%, time, intelligence, money, and energy toward the development of your spiritual faculty so that if the physiology goes, there's still function, there's still awareness, there's still contact with the environment and the ability to communicate.
Cool.
Is that
kind
of where you were looking for some refinement?
I think so. I wasn't the one that necessarily brought up the question, but on another point, the question that was brought up ended up being kind of a trigger for me and the group, and did some processing during the support group, and just wanted to share that I've been doing quite a bit of my own work with the worksheets, and I'm going to guess put 2.4 hours a day into doing my own work with your tools, but I'm always amazed when we get together at the support group how things, when I allow something to come up to be processed, how powerful it is in the group, and how it is so much more different or more powerful than just me doing my own work. And I know doing my work, on a daily basis also adds to my willingness to have something be processed in the group. So I'm also aware of that. But I just wanted to also put that out there. I really appreciate the support group and Rex's family's openness to have everybody come out twice a week. And I do, speaking of doing work, I do have another question of my own. I've been using the mind management the mind goal management worksheet quite a bit. And that's been something for me that I've picked up and started to do and stopped doing and started doing and stopped doing. But lately I've been pretty consistently using it. And what I'm finding that tool has been helpful for me with is as I get to that quiet space before I go to sleep and lay out framing my goals for the next day, I'll have things come up and I'll put them down. And I've noticed if there's some kind of a resistance going on when I'm putting framing a goal. How do I explain this? The short of it is that I'm finding that this tool is helping me to get more in tune with my own inner guidance and becoming more aware of how I've had the tendency in the past to set unrealistic goals through my carbon-based mind instead of listening to my higher self and following that guidance.
And listening to that higher self, Tony, is the development of the spiritual body.
Right.
That's your spiritual mind, your spiritual body speaking to you and guiding you. And people who never bother to listen to that, and it takes time to cultivate listening to that subtle energy as opposed to the gross noise of the world, people who never utilize that will not have that available to them if the body dies. And that's what I refer to as a non-viable or non-functional human being. I mean, the being is still alive, but if there is no ability to be aware through the faculties, then it's tantamount to non-existence.
Yeah, I get that. I do get that. My question with that worksheet is, I've found that many times I will be in the evening when you go over what your goals were set for the day, and then you have whether it's you have a checklist for if it was successful or if it was unsuccessful, and many times it'll kind of change in the day based on circumstances, and I'm wondering if here's what my mind would like to see, and you could share, your thought on it. I would rather, instead of it being if my goal was successful or unsuccessful, sometimes I have it partially successful. So maybe instead of it being successful or unsuccessful, black and white, maybe it could be something like a scale of 1 to 10, how successful was this goal? Or what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I'll certainly put that under consideration. If I haven't, here would be one of the points, one of the reasons for determining if it's unsuccessful. If I don't make that determination, and this is a determination that I make at the end of the night before I go to sleep, if I don't categorize it as incomplete or unsuccessful for the day, and I don't, therefore I don't cancel it, I go to bed with that stress in my mind. And one of the ideas of using the sheet is to go to sleep totally stress-free every night. So even if it's 9/10 complete, but it's still going, if I don't cancel that goal before I go to sleep, then I've given my mind a job to do, and my mind is going to tend to keep ruminating on that particular issue. Whereas when I say, okay, I'm 90% finished with that one, but I'm going to go to sleep stress-free, so I'm going to cancel that goal, categorize it as incomplete, then tomorrow morning I'm going to have the opportunity then to once again, if it's appropriate for me to do that today, as I wake up, the next day, if this is the day that I'm going to finish that other one-tenth, then I'm going to put it on my goal sheet, which is going to create a stress for me, and the stress will be the kind of stress that I need. It helps me to achieve my goal, and it's perfect and on track, and that's what I want. And it might be helpful in concert with that worksheet to really tap into that idea that when I sleep, I want to be stress-free. When I wake up, I want all the stress I can get that I can handle for today And, you know, most people don't understand how it is we create stress. You create a stress by setting a goal. And I want to have the kind of stress that really serves me, which is why the workshop that lays that worksheet out is called Getting the Stress You Need. I don't need any when I go to sleep except for deep, relaxing sleep.
Right.
So that would be kind of some of my thoughts on it. And I'll put the rest into the hopper and see if a gradation might be helpful. But the key would be at the end of the day, if it's incomplete, I want to cancel it.
Yeah. And if I've got anything that comes up around saying it's unsuccessful, then that's a reality management worksheet for me.
Right. Yeah. If somehow or other there's some kind of negative connotation to I wasn't successful with this, rather than it just means, well, this is an incomplete and I'll do it tomorrow, or, you know, maybe tomorrow won't be appropriate for me to do it. Maybe this is, I had an interaction to do with a particular business that isn't open tomorrow, so I'm going to cancel this goal until next Thursday when that particular business is open and I can conduct the business that I need to. So I'm going to have it on my calendar for next Thursday and be totally stress-free with that one. And the mistake that so many people make is they've got a list 10 times longer than they could possibly do today. The to-do list is just overwhelmed. And people who have an overwhelmed to-do list are people who procrastinate. The reason is that if you've got too many stressors, then the mind gets to the point where its resources are used up and it just says, I quit, I'm not going to do anything. And that's when people go into procrastination and just, you know, and when all of the resources are available, which is one of the big reasons for really managing your goals, to manage your mind, then when you start out with 100% of your resources available, zip, zip, bang, bang, you get things done. If you've only got 5% of your resources available, nothing goes zip, zip, bang, bang, I'm done with it. It's difficult. I slug through it. It's like going through mud to try and get anything done when I have too many goals or too much stress going on. Canceling to alleviate the stress and starting out with a stress-free mind in the morning and then only initiating stresses that will be useful to me for the given day will be what I do, and that's how I get to keep my resources available.
Right.
There's some sirens going by, so I think Michael has muted himself because I'm sitting in the restaurant and it's loud in here.
Okay. Yeah, I kind of figured that.
Thank you.
Hi, Jeannie.
Yeah, life on the road. There was a fire truck that just went by right 15 feet from me, so it was a little loud, and so I did need to pull. So does that make sense for you, sir?
Yes, it does. I appreciate it.
Any other questions or thoughts?
Oh, I probably do somewhere, but I'll let you get to the other caller, and I'll call in if I remember any other questions I have. Later.
Okay, sir, we appreciate you. We'll look forward to seeing you at teacher's training.
All right, thanks.
I got blessings. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, we actually have five more callers out there. And,
oh, my goodness,
this
let's
one
go
is,
for it.
I think this one is Rex, and he may have something to say to Adam. So 517, you're on the air. Is this Rex?
Yes, it is.
Hey, young man, how do you be? Sounds
doing
like it was
well.
A good support group last night.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Yeah, we had the
I appreciate the work
pet.
You're doing on the planet.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the work you're doing on the planet. It's a wonderful mirror.
Ah, the Mutual Admiration Society. Isn't it cool?
A lot of warm fuzzies, doesn't it?
There you go.
Yeah, and the question was a good one. It was, and I appreciate your explanation of it, and I just wanted to mention it so that I'm clear on what I'm hearing. Because I had some challenges with my... We had some heavy rains while the group was happening, so I stepped out at the beginning of the group once we got the DVD going and had to clean out my eaves troughs in the middle of the night. So it was very interesting. So I missed the first part. I went back and listened to it after the group left, and that was about 11 o'clock. And the question that came to mind, it was answered really well, and Tony got enough information in there that was good. But the question was the words that I heard you use and that she had quoted was that we would destroy our physical body if we didn't do that. And your explanation today, and I don't think it was exactly that. I know the word was destroy, but it wasn't in the same context, and I know how our minds will turn it into something else. That happens a lot, I think, with everyone, but, you know, to various degrees. So I think that may have taken place a little bit last night. But your explanation of it was, the way I understand it, is that we go back into the consciousness of the Creator, and if we don't have an individual awareness that we develop when we're in a body, then we won't have an awareness of it when we're there. So we'll just be a part of the whole again.
Yes.
Without awareness.
And I'm not sure when I did that video how cognizant I was of that principle, and if I said destroy, I probably would have been more accurate to say destroy awareness.
Yeah, and that's kind
of
what
you
I
can't
got
destroy.
When I listened to it.
Yeah, you can't destroy energy. Energy is eternal. We are eternal. It's just whether or not we have awareness of it. And I think I might have said something to the effect of that when there's not awareness, it is tantamount to self-destruction.
I think that's
And so that would, yeah, that would be more of what I would be referring to.
Well, and I did notice that you mentioned in that DVD that you turn the tape off. So that gives a little reference as how long ago it was. You were talking about a VCR. So, yeah, that's what I wanted to say. We had a great group and really supportive. You know, Tony is always doing really well with bringing things out to the group, and he opens it up quite often and is very willing. And we had a couple other people that, you know, came in and just wonderful, wonderful. So thank you. That's what I wanted to say, and just wanted to mention that. And
all right, sir. Thanks for the call. Have a blessed one. Tell Mama we said hello and send her love.
You bet. Blessings.
Okay. Take care. Bye-bye. So, Jeannie, you've got another caller for us?
Our next one is area code 765. You're on the air.
Hi, Michael, Jeannie. This is Sunny.
Hey there, young lady.
Hey. Yesterday, I do so apologize. To communicate and elaborate maybe a little further on what Adam was asking, is there a possibility?
Actually, I'm not sure what Adam was asking, but I'd rather stay keyed in on what you're asking, what your question is.
Okay. The question is it possible for us to maybe kind of live out or get kind of stuck in some of our etheric bodies?
Well, I'm not sure. You know, there are lots of different theories about all the seven bodies, and some people have a system of 77 bodies, and some have 770. I don't know anything about all of that. Here's what I know. If I got caught in a thought of hostility or fear, I'm in trouble. I defile my perception, and I limit and stunt myself. So if I'm in hostility or fear, what I want to do is go back. I don't have to define some kind of etheric thinking about an etheric body and what does that mean, because I don't know. Here's what I know. If it's hostility or fear, it won't serve your being. You want to be forgiving it. It keeps it real simple. We don't have to get into these complex theories about things that are simply mental masturbation for most people in order to avoid looking at the work. You know, there's a really powerful session in the scriptures where this man asks Yeshua, how do I inherit eternal life? And in essence, Yeshua knows that this man can parrot with his mind the answer. So he turns the question back to this man. And the man says, well, you have to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your neighbor is yourself. And Yeshua, having turned that question back to him, then acknowledges his answer. He says, yes, you spoke the truth. In other words, I already knew you knew it. And then he tells him in that particular passage to stop his mental masturbation. How do I inherit eternal life? And get back to here and now. And what he says to the man is, here's the question you just answered with your intellect, but you don't have it in your heart yet. You got it all up there in your head. You can talk all kinds of fancy talk about it. But here's the answer that, or the question that answer answers. And he says to the man, as opposed to focusing on his talking about eternal life, he says, do this and you shall live. In other words, sir, you don't have a life. You are already dead. Why are you asking me about eternal life when you are dead? Get a life first. How do you do that? Here's the answer. I live as the active presence of love. I live as a human being. When I think of the Creator, when I think of neighbor, and by doing so, I maintain my human life. To me, that was Yeshua getting back to the bottom line. Don't go off in space on me somewhere about eternal life, mister. You don't have a clue what you're talking about. Let's get back here, and let's get you a life first. Then let's move forward. So that would be kind of where I would go with it.
Okay. Well, to get on to my question, I was kind of looking for, and hopefully you put me in check, and I thank you, of over-intellectualizing and maybe revealing any area of denial here. My goal may be too big, or I'm coming back to the multifacets here. You just described to Adam this, you know, canceling the goal, and then people go into procrastination. And as I was listening to you, I was kind of hearing some of maybe my process, but I don't find myself procrastinating. I'm not getting the energy to move entirely, though I'm very grateful. Lady just gave me a van last night. And it gives me for a prosperity. And just, you know, I'm getting over myself and a lot of stuff here, but I'm getting down to timely stuff, and I'm not getting the breakthrough that I need here. And I'm saying I need, I know where I'm at, but the bill collectors could care less.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I've been blessed several times over through what I, you know, another time in life I would have thought, oh my God, I'm going to die or this is going to happen. And you just know, no, it just doesn't happen. We have the Lord's favor in all things, and we are that, and it's all good. But I'm not getting my breakthrough in the worksheet from where you gave me the mind shifters. I guess the goal, if you have a goal that is, I don't know how to describe this on the radio. And I guess maybe I'm, the other thing of it is I really think the most empowering thing would be for me to start a support group here. I just would like to feel more confident in my ability to facilitate that. And not making excuses, but the technology is still functioning without the computer and the DVDs. So,
well, here's my thought. So here's my thought. You've got Kevin there. Kevin's done quite a bit of this work. And I know, I believe Kevin's son is also there, and he's done quite a bit of this work. So what you might want to do, as opposed to...
Reached out to Kevin, and I don't know if the phone number is no longer valid, but he's not returned calls in several months.
Okay. Well, I'll see if I can reach Kevin, and I'll put it out and see if he's interested in joining in creating a support group and perhaps moving that forward. Otherwise, Jeannie, I don't know if you've looked at it on the website, and, you know, the library is always easy to get to for free computer use if you're having trouble with your computers. So if you go to the library and, you know, set yourself aside a couple of hours and go through, Jeannie's got a ton of information on the website for support group facilitators, the things to look out for, how to run a group, what to do with it. And so you might want to do that. And I'll look and see if there's anybody else up in that territory that might be willing to facilitate a support group with you. But, yeah, it's powerful,
I mean,
when you do that, as Tony said. Pardon me?
Yeah. I'm willing to be as independent and as in it as possible. I just really would like to get through this thing, and I don't know what this thing really is. I'm hoping I'm not wasting callers' time here, but... yeah, if you can connect with Kevin and he and I could get together on this, Mindy and I would really appreciate it, because I think that's where I'm at. It's I don't know. I'm working at it. I'm chiseling away at it here.
Cool.
And,
keep chiseling. You know, Yeshua said you might have to do 77 times 70 worksheets on some of those issues. So, you know, that means an infinite number of worksheets, and you keep breaking down and breaking down and breaking down that fear-based, that hostility-based mind until you're free of it. And it's not an instant overnight process, and the healing process can be extended. I know that one of my challenges as a kid was lungs, and it's still something that I detox. I was almost dead 3 or 4 times the first year of my life, and back about 25 years ago, I'm on a national speaking circuit, and I get into a detox with my lungs, and there's a reflex point on the cheek for the lungs, and I spent 2 years with these two red running sores, patches about 2 inches in diameter on each of my cheeks. It's called healing process. It isn't always over instantly. If we spent a lifetime denying and dissociating and not dealing with things, it's a process. It takes time. And, that time can look like years, but then when you consider that perhaps genetically this has been going on for 1,000 generations, and then in our own lives, how many decades?
Yep.
Be patient. Take some time, and it moves through.
Yeah, and the wolf found the door isn't real either, so.
I didn't say the wolf at the door isn't real. Fortunately, unless you're working with owing child support, there are no debtor prisons in America. They've sort of eliminated those, except for people who can't afford to pay the child support. Their debtor prisons have been established again, which is a very questionable practice, I think. I think they've proved it in ages past that if you're locked inside a prison cell, it's real hard to support your kids. And if you're out of that prison cell and you still can't do it, it's not going to help any. But, debtor prisons have been reestablished in America, sadly. And it's crazy time. But fortunately, you'll maintain your liberty, and we hold the space that those breakthroughs come.
Yeah, I'm breathing through that one, and that's kind of where I went with some of my worksheets. And there's a lot of healing between he and I, but his words are not letting go of that. And so I'm just still working on that one, Michael, truly. And a lot of maybe what I accepted as being true for myself through that. And appreciate everyone's prayers.
All right, we hold the space. You have a blessed one.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye. So, Jeannie, anybody in the chat room with a question or a thought for us?
We have two more callers on the air, and
awesome.
About 11 minutes. So the next one is 970. You're on the air.
Hey, guys, it's Carrie in Colorado.
Carrie in that nice, warm, sunny Colorado environment.
Is that what you said?
That you're out there in that nice, warm, sunny Colorado area, right?
Yeah, nice cold.
Of course, I'm being facetious.
It's a little warm the last few days.
Crazy. I was watching some of that yesterday on television. Holy mackerel, what you guys have been going through is incredible.
It is. It seems very extreme. 50-mile-an-hour winds and just major cold snow.
Gee, what does that leave a wind chill factor? If it's 50-mile-an-hour winds at 15 below, that's got to be, or at 15 degrees, that's got to be well below zero, I would think, wind chill, isn't it?
Yeah. From a
layman's standpoint,
it's wind that blows through you.
Yeah.
My favorite rooster also passed over during the storm, so I pulled him in the other dimensions. He was really a great friend of mine. I just wanted to ask really quick why, if there is a reason why you say I am blessed and highly favored. I wondered, it seems
because
obvious.
Because I am.
Okay. I just wondered if it came from anything or it just happens to be how you like to express it.
It just happens to be how I like to express it. You know, getting to do the work that I do and touch in with the people that I touch into all over the globe is such a blessing that I feel favored all the time by life, and that's my way of expressing appreciation for it.
Nice. Well, I appreciate it, and just was curious, so that's my question for today.
I know that Michael, you've heard Michael Coughlin on the show a few times, and he's former military, and the first time he came to one of my workshops, I met him. I guess I was walking across the parking lot, and I said hello to him, and he said hello to me, and he said, how are you doing? And I said blessed and highly favored. And he was up at the intensive, the first one we did at Palm Coast this year. And he came up for the day with Margaret to breathe. And it was kind of funny because he said, you know, I'm walking across the parking lot. I asked this guy how he's doing. He says, blessed and highly favored. And he says, I looked at this guy like, what kind of wacko is this? But he stuck around. Actually, the first time he stuck around because his car got trapped in the parking lot. And he went and got out, and his, you know, halfway through the wire workshop, he went out and got in his car, tried to leave, but he was blocked in. And so I followed him out and had a little chat with him, and he came back in, and he's been with the work. Maybe he's even on the show today. He'd call in and share with us a little bit of his experience of the. It is awesome. It is awesome.
Well, thank you so much.
Okay, we hold the space for your safe journeys to Florida when you're ready to go.
I'm excited and looking forward to it. And I'm blessed and highly favored.
All right. You got our support. Take care.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Our next number is 904. You're on the air.
904, welcome to the show. Give us a name. Where are you calling from?
Can you hear me?
I can.
Hello, Michael. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Who are we talking to?
Hey, this is Lorene from Jacksonville, Andy's sister.
Oh, welcome. Oh, delight to hear from you.
Yeah, my first time. So lead the way. I have a question. I'm on about my 24th worksheet since I saw you. And,
awesome.
It's been a ride, a wonderful ride in a lot of ways. I'm a little nervous just being on the air, but one of the things that's been happening, lately it seems like I've been a little more hypercritical and having expectations of, you know, love gestures and things like that.
Expectations of which?
Just of loving things coming towards me from others.
Right.
The example I used with my brother was, if you're going to visit a friend and they didn't leave the porch light on for you when they know you're coming. And, you know, so you're kind of disappointed it's dark and things like that. And then, you know, if you ask for them to do that, I don't want to have too high of an expectation of someone, but is there any accountability? I mean, it's my issue. Do I just not visit at night and let it go? Does that make sense?
Well, I think there are a lot of options to that. One would be to recognize that nobody's perfect, and my friend perhaps forgot to turn on the light, or perhaps they're scrimping on the electric bill. There might be 1,000 reasons for them not to turn the light on. It may not be a sign of unwelcomeness, which perhaps is what my mind reads it as. And if my mind's reading it as not being welcome, then I might clarify, gee, you know, would it be better if I didn't come and visit? And if I'm assured that it's okay, then, you know, then maybe I bring a flashlight and maybe I ask them once again to leave the light on. But if I'm in disappointment over the fact that I didn't get the kind of welcome that I wanted, or at least, pardon me, my mind is pretending that I'm in disappointment because I didn't get the kind of welcome that I wanted, then that would be the place to do a worksheet and look at the part of me that holds reasons why I wouldn't be welcomed. And then perhaps I get there and my friend says, well, you know, you really weren't welcome tonight. Come on in, but okay. Then if I go into fear or I go into some sort of upset, then that's my next piece of work. So any time that I'm not living as my true human essence, as this presence of love, that's where my structure's tightening up and I have work to do. So I can accept this as my friend's gift to me, show me the part of my mind that feels like I don't deserve the kind of welcome I would like, or, you know, whatever the dynamic is for me, and I get to forgive that. I get to go inside myself, access that hidden part of my mind by, in this case, canceling the goal to be enthusiastically welcomed, and see the part of me and what energy I'm holding that takes me out of love. Otherwise, I walk through the dark forest a mile where the lights are supposed to be on and there are no lights and it's dark and I stumble a little bit, and I finally get to the door where I'm going to be staying for the night, and I say, hi, how do you be? I'm love, and here I am. When I lose that connection to love, though they may have something they've done, I'm accountable for the loss of the connection to love. And can I hold them accountable for what? You know, Charlie, if you want me to come next week, like you said you did, I really need for you to leave the light on. Or, you know, if you choose not to do that, then what I'm going to do is I'm just going to let this visit go. And I can just gently and lovingly let that go as well while I hold him accountable.
Okay. Okay, that makes sense.
So I want to be in the place where I can approach everything in my life with all embracing love, even if it doesn't satisfy my infantile demands.
Well, it should be this way. Well, you should have done that. Well, if only you had. And, you know, our functional definition in this work of denial is, when I have some sort of pain or turmoil or upset going on inside of me, and I talk about somebody else. And when I do that and I go into a conversation about somebody else as though they are cause of my upset, then I just dissociated from that particular upset. And the whole idea of the forgiveness process is to be able to embrace all of my dissociated upset and heal it so that I simply function and my physiology supports me functioning as this awesome presence of love, totally, completely independent of what anybody else does. So somebody stands there and disses me. Okay, so should them doing the best they can do to push every one of my buttons by screaming and raging, should that cause me to give away my human life and to give up the presence of love in me? If I do,
no,
then I have
right.
a problem. They may have a problem too, but strictly speaking, trying to correct their problem while I have a problem, Yeshua would say, why are you trying to take the speck out of your brother's eye? Well, you have a beam in your own. Do your own work first. You may find that your brother was just unconsciously offering to you the opportunity to heal this next layer.
Okay. Awesome.
So the whole world
makes
is all about, it's all
do.
Everybody else's fault. Yeah, we've all got work to do. That's definitely the game.
Okay, perfect. Okay, I'll keep
awesome.
It on
well,
me.
Awesome, well, I'm delighted that you're tapping in and doing the worksheets. It's good to hear your voice. I actually tried to catch up with you a couple of days after you came to that last workshop, and it just didn't happen. So just know we were thinking about you and hold the space.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Good to talk to you.
All right. Love and blessings. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
So, Jeannie, I think we're down to, 90 seconds. It looks like our show time is coming to an end. So, please, next Sunday, if you're in the St. Louis area, come and join us at the Soul Esteem Center Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon. Flyers on the website, www.whyagain.org. 2 weeks later, we'll be up in Woodstock, Illinois, doing a full week of workshops. We got 6 free workshops, and then the Saturday Mind Shifters and Still Point Breathing, which is a fee-based workshop. And then 2 weeks after that, we'll be over in Lansing, Michigan, doing another full week there. We may do something up. We're talking with some folks up in Wisconsin and in the Upper Peninsula in Michigan, too. So keep an eye on the schedule. We appreciate, really, truly appreciate this time with you, and we look forward to chatting with you tomorrow. Have the best year yet of your eternal life. Take care. Bye-bye.